manifested in how these words, it goes going down, going down, going below into the hole. Anyways, that's interesting tidbit there. But the question begs to be asked, why doesn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? You know, it's very clear that he doesn't want to go, but there's got to be a reason. What's the motivation behind his disobedience and rebellion? And to understand why he doesn't want to go, we have to understand the background or the context of Jonah. So Jonah's from Israel, and during this time, the Israelites, or the nation of Israel, was being heavily oppressed by the Assyrians. And this was part of God's judgment against Israel. And it was part of his God's plan to draw the Israelites back to him, to bring them back in, to bring them into repentance. So he's using the Assyrian Empire to oppress them. And it was during this time that the Assyrian Empire was at its height. And they're very notorious. They're notoriously famous for oppressing their neighbors and their enemies, and were very cruel. There's a lot of accounts where, you know, they were very cruel to the prisoners, prisoners of war that they captured. And here we have Jonah, who's an Israelite, and he's being sent by God to proclaim God's word to his basically mortal enemies. And so in this, you see why Jonah had such a distaste. You know, it's like if... I won't get into it. But basically, I mean, you guys get the idea. So, you know, Jonah is a pretty familiar story. You know, we're all told he goes into the boat and it's sailing away, and God sends this big storm, and everyone's freaking out because they're all going to die. So they go and ask Jonah, who's sleeping in the boat, and they're all wondering, like, you know, probably like, why, like, how are you able to sleep? And so he tells the sailors to throw him overboard, and they throw him overboard, and the seas calm down, and the sailors are saved, and he gets swallowed by a giant fish, and in the belly of the fish, he seemingly repents to God and for his behavior, for his rebellion, and he gives this pious behavior, pious prayer that he actually examined, really betrays his heart and shows that, you know, he really isn't that repentant. Nevertheless, God hears him and commands the fish to spit Jonah back up onto dry land. And here is where we find chapter 3. And so Jonah finally obeys the call of God and does as he commands and goes to the city of Nineveh and preaches the word that God gave him. And in his ministry, he's so effective that the king issues a decree to fast and repent. And it's not just, hey, everyone, let's fast and repent, but he tells everyone, including the animals, to not eat or drink, right? Like, who cares whether animals are fasting? What do they have to offer in terms of their fasting? But that's how effective Jonah was, right? And it goes to show, you know, Jonah's intent. Like, he really doesn't want to go. And you see in chapter, you know, you can look at it yourself, but chapter 2, his prayer just really betrays how he still doesn't want to go yet. He's like, fine, I'll do it, right? It's out of obligation. And yet he's so effective where the king says, hey, everyone, we're going to repent. The whole city is going to fast, and we're going to turn to the Lord, and even your animals are not going to eat and drink. And it's interesting to note that the king has so much faith. Because it's not like he knows who God is. I mean, he might have some idea, but for the Assyrians, they have, you know, they have their own deities, they have their own gods, and yet here Jonah was giving a one-sentence sermon, and in that one sentence, the king believes and changes his heart. Right? Even as a king speaks, there's still a little bit of, you know, I'm not so sure. Right, you can tell where his faith is. In verse 9, he goes, who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger. Now, if he really knew who God was, he would know that God doesn't bring his wrath just for the sake of bringing his wrath. God's wrath and punishment and, you know, sending his anger is so that people would see their own sin and repent and God will bring his forgiveness. I mean, this is very clear all throughout the Old Testament. It's not just a grace thing that Christians receive. This is clear in the Old Testament as well. And, you know, the king kind of picks up on this, but it's clear that he doesn't really exactly know who God is and know the fullness of God. But yet he still repents. And as a result of the Ninevites' action, God turns away his wrath, as it says in verse 10. And as we go into chapter 4, this really angers Jonah. He's like, what? How could you do this? Right? And here you see why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh in the first place. It's like, I knew this would happen. I knew if I went and preached the word of God, if I preached your word, then they would repent and then they would be saved. And for Jonah, it's like, why wouldn't you want them to be saved? Well, because he didn't want his enemies to receive that gift. He didn't want his enemies to be forgiven, right? So that's kind of the quick summary. Oh, right. So what can we learn from this episode? So there's two things. One, God will always fulfill his plan. His purposes are always completed, no matter what we may do. And this is pretty simple. We all know this, or I hope we do. This is something that, you know, we always preach. And, you know, despite our best efforts to get in the way, despite no matter what we do, he will always accomplish his purposes. We will not get in the way of what he wants to do. We may think that we might be getting in the way, like Jonah was thinking, oh, I'm not going to do it, or, you know, I'm only going to preach a one word or one sentence sermon, and that's it. Despite our best efforts, we will not get in the way. Now, even how, you know, Jonah was fighting tooth and nail until the very end, you know, he's still very angry. The Ninevites repented, and they experienced God's relenting of his wrath. And, you know, in our haste to judge sometimes, we have to really consider, do we have God's heart, right? We have to think, you know, Lord, what is your purpose? And look at our own motives. Because even in that phrase, in our haste to judge, should indicate what our hearts are. Is it aligned to God, right? Because in verse 2, chapter 4, even Jonah says this, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, right? Do we, in our lives sometimes, when we are saying, like, when we're pronouncing judgment, you know, in our own heads, or maybe even out loud to that person, you know, are we aligning what we do with God's purposes? Right? Because his purpose will always get accomplished no matter what. So it'll be better for us to align to him. So we're very quick to judge and quick to anger. You know, that's not who God is. God is slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness. In fact, you know, we have to ask, do we even get to judge who gets to receive God's word? It's not a choice that we get to make. You know, our attitude may not be blatant as like, oh, you know, they don't get a chance to receive God's word, or they don't get a chance to hear the word. But we've all had experiences where we find ourselves kind of saying, you know, oh, Lord, why this person? Why do I have to pray for this person? Why do I have to talk to this person? You know, why is the opportunity here to reach out to this person? Or we might say, but if I speak to this person, they'll change for a little bit, and then they'll go back to doing what they were doing before. So it's pointless. There's no point in talking to them. Like, well, we don't really get to make that call. I mean, in the case of the Ninevites with Jonah, you know, they repented for a generation, but they actually turned back. But in that time of repentance, you know, there were people that were saved from calamity. And they followed after God. See, a person's journey to salvation may be, you know, very long and drawn out. And if we're there for that one little season to help them, you know, turn them back. And we always talk about the angle scale, where You know, zero is when someone is not saved, and 10 where someone is saved. You know, in that moment where, yeah, they might turn back and go from like a 1 to a 2, and then to a 3, and then back to a 2. If we're there in that moment, we help them turn them from like, I don't know, a 2.5 to a 3. You know, at least we did something. Right? And that's what God wants us to do. We're not here to bring someone through. No, we could be, but our purpose isn't to bring someone from non-Christian all the way to Christian. Our purpose is just to fulfill what God asks us to do. So that's one. God will always fulfill his plan. Number two, in our ministry, love should always be at the core. Love should be at the heart of our ministry. Going back to Jonah's sermon in verse 4, it's very short. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, typically with Old Testament prophets, there's four characteristics or elements that they typically exhibit. One is that they confront people to their sin. The second is that they call people to repentance for that sin. The third is that they caution people of the incoming judgment if there is no repentance. And then the fourth is they comfort people with hope of salvation to come with repentance. So there's four C's: confront, call, caution, and comfort. So out of these four elements, Jonah only exhibits one. He only calls, or he only cautions people of the imminent judgment. He tells the Ninevites that in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And if you look at the four elements, he chose one that did not actually require any love. Right? Because you think about it, it's very easy to say, you're doing bad. You know, it's very easy to point out someone's sin. It's very easy to tell them what's going to happen to them. You know, you do this, if you steal, you're going to go to jail. It's very easy, right? But for him, you can see that because of the fact that he was ministering out of obligation, that's why he chose just to caution people of the imminent judgment. You know, he was hoping that in his short sermon, people will actually ignore his words and not repent, because he wanted the Ninevites to, you know, quote unquote, burn in hell. But at the end, God relents from unleashing his wrath and punishment on the Ninevites. In verse 10, it says, when God saw their deeds, that they turned away from their wicked way. In verse, that word wicked way in Hebrew is actually ra'ah. It continues, then God relented concerning the calamity. That is also translated in Hebrew, or the original Hebrew is ra'ah. Which, you know, if you were to insert that word, the word ra'ah actually means evil. So to replace wicked and calamity in verse 10 with evil, because when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their evil, then God relented concerning the evil which he had declared he would bring upon them. Now, it's not to say that God is evil, right? But that term evil also means misery, pain, distress, and unhappiness. And those are some of the terms that this Hebrew term ra'ah entails. And this is what Jonah had wanted. He wanted the Ninevites to experience that same pain, the same misery and distress that he had experienced as a person of Israel. He wanted the Ninevites to experience the same thing that the Israelites had experienced. And, you know, this begs us to ask the question, in our ministry, when we go and proclaim the word of God, are we doing it out of love? Are we choosing to love that person, or are we wanting them to feel that same pain that we felt? Right? Because Jonah only chose one of the four characteristics, and he chose the one that did not require any love. But if you know, he could have said, you know, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So therefore, repent and enjoy life. And you know, receive God's blessing, or you know, whatever it is. But in his heart, because it was so hard, and he was doing it out of obligation, he didn't want the Ninevites to receive that love. He didn't want to, you know, open his heart to them. And we have to ask ourselves, is love at the core of our ministry? Now, oftentimes is, you know, we want to minister, the question is, do we want to minister? Do we want to love on that person? Or do we just want to be heard? Right? We have a point. And a lot of times we say, like, you know, you have to listen to me because this is good for you. And we want people to be walking in freedom. But oftentimes I think that our intention kind of gets turned around and we get blinded by wanting to be heard or wanting to mold people in the way that we think Christians should be. And we have to be very careful of that. It's not up to us to say, you know, you have to be a certain way and you have to do this after you listen to me. And you know, for Jonah, he wanted to unleash his wrath on the Ninevites. He wanted to be heard. He wanted the Ninevites to see just how much pain that they had caused him and his people. And you know, that's why in chapter 4, he remained. We didn't read it, but in verse 5, Jonah goes out from the city and sat east of it, and he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So he sat there wanting to watch the Ninevites burn. And, you know, it's not that Jonah actually doesn't really have a happy ending, because you don't actually see him repent. You just see his anger burning and festering. And you know, I think the message in what God is trying to tell us in this is that, you know, essentially don't be like Jonah in your ministry. Don't become bitter and do things out of obligation, but really have this heart of love and heart to see people transform. Because, I know I'm going a little long, but yeah, I'll close with this. If Ricky can come up and start playing. You know, in our ministry, or if you imagine if Jonah was actually doing it with love, if he went to the city of Nineveh wanting to see lasting repentance, you know, could you imagine how different his sermon could be? How much, you know, effort he would have put in calling the people to repentance? It says that Nineveh was a great city, a 3 days walk. So some scholars have taken this to say that it takes 3 days to walk around the city, or his task to call the whole city to repentance would have taken 3 days. Yet in the next verse, he only takes 1 day to do it. What if he actually went 3 days, right? Maybe the repentance of Nineveh would have been everlasting, because Nineveh eventually turned back and they fell back into sin. So taking that to, you know, taking a lesson for ourselves, you know, what if, even if we're being sent by God into a situation we really don't like, you know, we have to pray for someone that we're like, oh man, why do you have to pray for them? Or, you know, talking to like friends about God, or, you know, whatever it is. What if we operated with God's intention, you know, instead of wanting to be heard? Now, how much more effective would our ministry be? So as we worship, as we pray today, let's focus on that question, you know, how much more effective is our ministry if we operate out of love?
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come and the road ahead gets deep, I will lift these hands in faith, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. Love. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. When my heart is filled with hope, every promise comes my way. When I feel your hands of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, staying humbled at your feet, I will lift these hands and praise. I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. Oh, love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. I am yours, I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours, I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. I sing out and remind my soul that I am yours, I am forever yours.
Yeah, so let's spend a few more moments in prayer and really ask God to just impart his love to us. As much as we can try to love, there's often a lot of times where we fail and we just can't do it, and we really need to rely on him to love, whether it's through showing compassion or showing mercy or showing grace to people, and not calling them out for certain things, or even when they're blatantly in the wrong, treating them with grace and gentleness. So let's just pray over our hearts right now. Let's pray for those in our community who are who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for those in our community who are our friends and family of those who are sick and yet need to hear or have yet to receive Christ into their hearts. Let's lift up those who are in our community and have various infirmities and are suffering from various sicknesses. Let's pray for God's healing upon them, as well as a perseverance for them to continue praying for God's healing in their lives. Let's pray for those in a community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God opens the right opportunities and that in their searching, they are constantly just abiding in Christ, looking for His direction. Turning to our Friday morning prayer focus, let's pray for Japan and P. Sophia, who is currently there. Let's also pray for SP Seoul, our little house church plant, for Yun Sung and Janice that lead SP Seoul, as well as for Cambodia, for Oasis House led by Pastor Jenny Oh, and for the whole country in general. Let's pray. Let's pray for the Missions Council led by Pastor Ricky, also Janella, John, Jungmin, Tim, and Deb. Let's pray that God gives them the wisdom and discernment for the projects that come across their table. I just pray that they continue praying in and that they are led by God in the decision making. Let's pray for the local outreach ministry, for the various sub-ministries they have, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray that for all the leaders and servants that are in this ministry, that as they go out, they are just filled with joy and filled with the love of God to minister to the people of these various ministries. Let's pray for the activities that we have tonight. We have SPU, EG, IP, GIC, as well as Youth Bible Study. Let's pray that God moves powerfully in all these meetings and that people come to a new and fresh revelation of who God is. Let's also pray for the two house churches we have going on tonight, McCain and McRobinson. And lastly, let's pray for the retreat. It's coming up very soon. Let's pray for everyone that's going. And let's also pray for the worship leaders and the worship teams as they even now start preparing for the worship sessions, that God really comes during this time and leads the whole congregation into worship. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to come before you today, Lord, and ask, Father, that you reveal in our hearts, illuminate those parts of our hearts that hold improper motives or just things in our heart that are causing us to not minister in the right way, God, that are preventing us from being, quote-unquote, more successful, Lord, that is preventing us from fulfilling or doing the things that you are calling us to do. And God, help us change our hearts, Lord. Turn our hearts the other way instead of running from you to running to you, God, and running to your purposes. so that in our ministry we can reach people, Lord, that they can, it's not that so that we can be successful, but they can know who you are, God, and they know the fullness of who you are, and that they too can experience the same freedom that we experience, the same love that we experience, the same joy that we have. So God, I pray for all my brothers and sisters, Lord, as they finish up their week of work. Father, be with them. Help them finish strong, God, and just keep them safe, Lord. We thank you. We love you. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your prayer time.